Well, let me tell you how the whole thing started, the adventure. The adventure was real adventure in Italy to Australia. I was invited by Paul Pierce to spend, I got an award, you know, Australia is easy to get an award, and to spend 1 year splitting the two pieces in Melbourne. Then Yander here, who visited your conference here, came to see me because he was interested in a work I did concerning the classification, what is called in the community here, matrix product, ground states. And by the way, there are mathematical objects which are not very amusing, but the classification was done. And Jan came with a story related to Stroganov. Stroganov is a guy who is in Protvino, a bit fat, and with a passion of integer numbers. And he discovered in the wave function in the XXE model, if you take a certain asymmetry which is pi over 3, the number 3 is going to come in a lot of places here, that the wave function of the Hamiltonian has special properties in the ground state. Now, who cares about a wave function of a Hamiltonian, because the physics, as you know, it's psi bar, and you can change your basis at will, and so the meaning of the wave function was meaningless. But then, Jan, when he came, he is a student of Bernard Nienhaus, and Bernard has a passion of loops. Everything with He's a very special, in a very positive way, person. But I didn't see Bernard at all. Everything was the voice of Jan, who was his student. And then Jan left back to Canberra. And I wanted, Paul was very interested, although he didn't know what's all about. I didn't know what's all about. So, but I knew one thing, was quantum groups. And so I started to understand, because the chain had quantum group properties, what means a ground state wave function. It turns out that if you use Clebsch-Gordan coefficients, you get loops. Then I got interested in loops. And finally, a wonderful collaboration started between us, which goes on even now. And since my collaborator, Pavel Pyatov, was interested in matrix products, he got completely converted to this game. Then lately, Francesco Alcaraz from San Carlos got interested in the game, and Ariel Levine, and who left for biophysics, not because of this work. But what I want to say is that at the end of the day, there are many other things which are unrelated to the physics of the problem, but implied a lot of associative algebras and combinatorics, which is a disease. I think that there are several people working on this subject, not on the physics, because it's a subject in which associative algebra comes into the game. Conformal invariance at equal zero, which is so-called logarithmic conformal field theory, comes into the game. And in my view, also physics comes into the game. So what I'm going to do is to take an attitude which is very opportunistic. I'm going to present a gross model, not giving any mathematical justification, just telling you what theoreticians tell me that I should learn from them. So from the combinatorics, I will tell you what in a few words and show you how combinatorics comes in. I'm not going to tell you a word about associative algebra, so unless you tell me, you ask me really how the model is derived. And but I think the basic point is, I think it's the first example in which of a stochastic model in which conformal invariance is a sense of space and time symmetry comes, where the kind of things what you have in the abelian sandpile model is that the ground states, the stationary states, has conformal invariance in it. Actually, the ground state itself of this conformal invariant model has double kind of conformal invariance built in. I'm going to come to this point. But the main point is that besides having conformal invariance, you are going to see what you learn in a stochastic model from conformal invariance a lot. that you are not used to having other models, and that's one message we should come to you, that if you have a stochastic model with conformal invariance, you can say a lot about the properties of the model. And then one phenomenon which I think is amusing is that when you break conformal invariance, you end up in a phase in which all the exponents, including Z defined as a dynamical critical exponent, in the sense that it's, if you like, so if you have a dispersion relation, the dispersion relation is modified by Z. And it's a model which is non-local. On top of that, it has avalanches into it. What I'm going to present here are very few exact results, but results of Monte Carlo simulations on up to 65,000 sites. I think it's an amusing physics. I hope to convince you about that. I'm going to discuss the stationary states, the dynamics, and avalanches. Depends how much time I get to do. Now, what's a model about? It's a 1 plus 1. It's a wind blowing here. So, what you have is what is called an RSOS interface. In math, is called a polymer. Don't ask me if it has any connection with a polymer or a Dick pulse. The model is built in the following way. Here is a model with L plus 1 size is every L is equal to 2N. It starts in the following way. You are able to move up or down by steps of 1. By the way, if you are flat, those are called what is called in combinatorics Motzkin paths. They also appear in this type of dreams, by the way. And you start here and end up there. And the number of configuration is given by this number, which are called in the sports Catalan numbers. Now, you have to think about that as a film of tiles on a surface. If you want to think of a polymer, you have to think only about the end of the grain, but we are not going to do so. So the heights are clearly defined. Here is height 1. And what is going to come into the grain are the slopes. So the slope here is equal to 1, and the slope here is equal to 0. So it's 0 here and it's 0 here at a peak or a dip. Now, this defines the configuration space at a certain point. I'm going to say that those are the recurrent space in the model, in the same way Deepak defines recurrent models in avalanches. I will explain afterwards why. So, we have to go give the rules. And the rules are extremely simple. Think about the interface being in the presence of a rarefied gas of tiles. So, and you think that you do Monte Carlo. So you can hit each site at random with a probability 1 minus L minus 1, because here you don't hit and here you don't hit at the end. And if you hit a peak, as either slope is 0, it's reflected. Reflection plays an important role in this game. If you hit a dip, you have with a probability UA, A from adsorption, it's absorbed, or 1 minus A is reflected. But it can be absorbed. Now, this is a local process. What is very different is a desorption process, and that's the reason why this model is called raise and peel. Raise is because you can raise. Now comes the peeling thing. If the slope is plus or minus 1, so you're in such a place, and the tile hits here, it kicks out a whole layer from this height to this height. with a probability UD, and 1 minus UD is reflected. So you get from this configuration to this configuration. So the process being non-local, can, if you have a huge object here, you can kick out a layer of the size of the system, you can expect to have avalanches in this type of problems. And you do. Now, the quantity which is relevant is the ratio of adsorption over desorption, and as I'm going to denote by U, W being its inverse. Why I'm going to play with two parameters which are essentially one, you are going to see in a second. It's much more convenient to work in this way, but keep in mind that W is inverse. If U is equal to zero, it implies you have no adsorption, you have only desorption. The stationary state is a substrate. It's only this green thing. And you can compute for this case the spectrum of the model, and you are going to find that it's massive. Massive meaning that you have final correlation length in time. So from now on, when I use massive, means that you have final correlation. So you have only one configuration in the stationary state. The other extreme, and here is precisely what is going to be amusing, how these two things are competing. The other extreme is that if you have desorption zero, if you have desorption zero, you have W is equal to zero, you have the full triangle in the stationary state. And again, you can do a calculation to show that in this case, the spectrum is massive. So you have two extremes, U equals zero and U into infinity, where both cases you know that you are massive, and you are not interested in the configuration of this type. You want to know really what's happening, why such a model is interesting. Now, let's look to some typical configurations. If U is equal to 0.4, for instance, you see that desorption is still pretty large. The typical configuration is of this type. Now, these points here, where the interface touches the surface, we are going to call them contact points. And you see there are many, many, many contact points. When U is equal to 1, and here is going to be the most interesting thing, when U, both is desorption and absorption are equal, there's a special point, as we are going to see. You have fewer contact points. At W equal 0.4 means U is equal to 1 divided by 0.4, we know to do the division. In this configuration, you don't have contact points, and others you have, but you have fewer contact points. Also, what you can see in both cases, the heights are pretty low, huh? Now starts to be the interesting part. Now this picture I'm going to put on the side. What happens is W is very small. Keep in mind that if W is equal to zero, you have the full triangle. Well, there is no full triangle. You have, for small lattice sizes, you see something of a triangle, less and less. If you go to large lattices, actually the height saturates and it gets broader and broader, but no triangle. So you suspect something very strange happening at W equals zero, where you should have the full triangle. Now, what are the properties of this system? This picture is extremely relevant. Namely, that you grow slowly from configuration we fill the boundary and end up with a bulk effect in a very nice way. Now, how to characterize an interface? One thing is, let me take one picture there so I can run to it. One way to take is to take the average height, h of l. Another way is to take the height at the middle, in this case is zero. Another way is to take a quantity which looks very weird but which is extremely important in all what we are doing. That's a fraction of the sides where disruption does not take place. Those are the places where the slope is zero. That is one, this is one, this one is this one, this is not, because here you can have disruption. I'm going to come to this quantity later. Now what is much more important is what are called contact points and clusters. A contact point is a point where the surface goes to zero. That's a contact point, that is a contact point, and that is a contact point. Clusters is an object between two contact points. Here you have a cluster and here you have a cluster. Why clusters are important is because disruption takes place only within a cluster, but contact points, as we are going to see, have a very serious importance because you can define local operators with it and you can see a lot of physics in that. So, if I use the word contact point and cluster, it's not the clusters that Satya uses, but I'm going to come to his clusters later. So, a cluster is an object like that. To repeat, there's a configuration with three contact points and two clusters. Now, I'm going to denote by K, which is a function of L, of the size of the system, the average number of clusters, and by rho K divided by L, the density of clusters, and by G of X and L, the local density of cluster, which means the number of contact points. Now, what is the phase diagram of this model? And I'm going to come with an argument after another why it is like that. If u goes from 0 and 1, it's massive. Means that if you have essentially this option, you are massive. At u equal 1, you are conformally invariant, you are going to see what's happening. And in all these places, in all this domain, you are scale invariant with all the exponents dependent on where you are, including the dynamical exponent z. Everything varies. The end point, the full triangle, is a singular point. And I'm going to come with one argument after another. First of all, I'm not going to show the calculation how you show that you can do the two extremes, the system is massive. But I'm going to make a point here why you are conformally invariant. And that's a very easy thing if you get the right idea. So, what you do is the following thing, and that's a crucial point in the whole thing. What you do is, if you are writing the Schrödinger equation for the probability distributions, C and D are states, HCD is the transition probability except the diagonal one, you can show that the time evolution of the system is given by Hamiltonian, which has this form, after a similarity transformation, here is a crucial point in the whole game, that you are able to do such a similarity transformation, here you have to believe me. And which goes into an XXZ model with a special asymmetry, gamma is equal to pi over 3. The number 3 is going to come in the whole thing, probably the end, I'm going to get the mark 3 on over 100. And these are Pauli matrices. Hamiltonian is not Hermitian, that's crucial. You don't have time reversal. And you can ask me the following question. How come that this Hamiltonian has 2 to the power L states, and the space of configuration I was talking about is a Catalan number, which is much smaller? And here comes something in the whole structure of the Hamiltonian, and I'm going to be very short about it. I think I have a free transparency. And then I'm going to, if I didn't lose it. Oh, no, it's there. The space of configuration, I will call them recurrent configurations which appear in the model, is part of a much larger space in which you have plenty of Jordan cells, and the errors look in the following way. You can have, that's the simplest case, you can have an object like that, that's a cluster. Let me take the next one. Here you have a flat space, here you have another mountain, and here you have a flat space, and here, let's say, you have another mountain. If a tile hits here, then the flat thing goes here and fills the gap here, and then you get the other mountains and you are left hit here. Otherwise speaking, it hops from this place to the last one. And what is interesting is that when two come together, this flat object and this flat object, and this one was here, and this one comes here, these two, if they are hit in the middle, you get a new mountain, and that's out of the space. So these type of models, am I clear what I'm saying?
Sorry, I don't understand why you have flat surfaces in your drawings. But
in my drawings, they were not. I'm enlarging the space. I said, why do you have 2 to the L states? Why do you have 2 to the L states instead of the Catalan numbers? Okay, if you know quantum groups, I can tell you the Catalan numbers come from the number of scalars that you have in the problem. 2 defects correspond to the number of vectors and what so on. I know that's not the right thing to see. But the way to understand the problem, the counting problem is not essential here. It's the physics.
You're changing the dynamics.
Pardon me? I'm enlarging the dynamics and I know how to define it. Otherwise I can have, and this covers the whole spectrum, which again is conform and invariant and everything, you can start to have more and more flat objects like that, which under the action of the Hamiltonian are eaten hop up to when they are hit, and then they get out. So you can start to have clusters, flat, clusters now in the your definition of cluster, mountains, flat spaces, you have a rain. The rain produces 2 things, moves them and kills them. So you have fewer and fewer, and at the end of the day you have only the configuration I mentioned that I'm going to play with. Was I clear?
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
Your Hamiltonian is local, but the original dynamics is non-local. So did you do a non-local similarity transform?
Here is the whole point. Here is the essential part. The Hamiltonian is local after a similarity transformation. And this I know to do only in the case U equal W equal 1. In the other case, I don't know to do it. It's local only after a similarity transformation.
Okay.
And another question, your gamma, where does it come from?
Where is pi over 3?
Yeah, where is pi over 3 in your...
Okay. That is... I can explain it in a following, in several ways. I will go with a silly way. The silly way is a central, essentially you end up with a central charge equals zero in this small effective central charge, zero if you don't conform an invariance. I will go with a pragmatic difference. That only for this asymmetry, the ground state of the Hamiltonian has energy zero and the spectrum is positive. Not necessarily, it's a question of basis. The fact that you have a spectrum positive, or at least a real part of the spectrum positive, and does imply it's Hamiltonian. You can always, if you have such a spectrum, you can always do similarity transformation in thousands of stochastic Hamiltonians. The main point is that in this case you can choose a basis which makes physically sense, and that's the case. Now, if I have conformal invariance and this Hamiltonian is integrable, and being integrable I can say a lot. Namely, the first observation is that the stationary state corresponds to the ground state of this Hamiltonian, and the probability distribution function here in this basis that I've described has magical properties and related to alternating sign matrices. I will tell you in two words what it means. You have the wave function. It's the whole information because you have a stochastic basis. It turns out that here you have integer numbers in the coefficients of, rational numbers in the coefficients of each configuration, in the probability distribution function. Am I clear? Choose the normalization, work unnormalized, and take as one the smallest probability. Now, the normalization, which gives you the probability one, is related to the number of alternating sign matrices which has certain symmetry which is a problem of combinatorics, which can be mapped in a two-dimensional fully packed loop. But the main point is that you have extraordinary properties which come out. I don't want to touch this subject at all because it's a seminar on its own. But I will say show some consequences. So the ground state properties are very special. Now, what about the spectrum? The spectrum has the following property, is that the energy times the length of the system times p three square root of 3 over 2, 3, I said that all the time, give two things, the spectrum, and the second, the critical exponents of the model, and here comes conformal invariance. The numbers for the space-time in this small sector are 0, 2, 3, and whatever. If you take the whole problem, including the non-recurrent states, get 1, 3 plus 1, and things like that. So the number 1, 3, then 3 appears again. So let me repeat. The length of the system times the energy, when L goes to infinity, it's a constant. Because of that, Z is equal to 1. Rigorously. Is this point clear? You have a relativistic dispersion relation in the problem. A relativistic dispersion in relation implies Z equal to 1. And the single length of the appearing in the system is just the length of the system. So this information is crucial for all that the critical exponents have to come from here. Any questions in this point? Yes, sir.
Imaginary is part of the spectrum. What happens with
it? Purely zero. I know why you ask the question. If you want to, when it's not zero, I can tell. But in this case, zero.
So what's the distribution of heights exactly at this component?
I will come to that. Don't you worry. Good. Now, that much I'll keep this one here too, I will need it. Now, I will go to heights with everything. First of all, I have to justify my phase diagram. And my phase diagram, I will move now here. First, why I said that in this domain it's massive. No, I know that for u equals 0 rigorously is massive, and I know that here is massless, but how do I know that here is massive? In many ways. One of the most intelligent ways is to check if you have final correlations. And it is. But we are going to see it. But the first one, you measure the density of clusters in the large a limit. It goes like that. Starts at 0.5, because you use two sides for a cluster, and ends up at zero here. So you know that here you're going to have a phase transition. Now, I will come more to about the fact that, but basically this picture tells you that you have massive in all the domain, final densities. Now, what's happening with the density of clusters, and for mu is smaller, larger than one, it keeps being power behaved. I'm going to explain how it vanishes at u equal 1. Here you see at u equal 1 is 0.67, the good approximation of 2 over 3. 1 over 3 was a number we saw already. And then it moves. Below 0.1, you have too few clusters to be able to say something. But there, you have other ways to say that you are massless here. But this is in the same thing. So you have an exponent k is equal to L to the power gamma, which gamma varies in this domain. Now, to give you the taste of combinatorics and to scare you, that's a probability to have for a system of size 2n plus 1, n enters here, k clusters. This is a typical result that you get from combinatorics. But the main point is that from here you can take the average number of clusters when L goes to infinity and you find L to the 2/3. And that is a 0.67, I think, that I mentioned before.
So how does this differ from the, when you have uniform measure over the dyke paths?
If what?
If you have, you know, for example, all the Catalan numbers, all the dyke paths, dyke paths basically.
You have only dyke paths here.
Yeah, yeah, no, but in your case, the measure is different, right? Because you are looking at, if you have uniform measure,
which if is... If you have uniform measure in
then
the
dyke paths, it's just the origin, right?
So well, the height goes like square root of L because it's...
That's right.
Well, to tell you the truth, I knew it, but I forgot it. I can tell you, I know exactly where to fish it. It's not 2/3, it has nothing to do with that. The gas is a completely different gas.
It should be L to the power half, right? It's a Brownian expression.
I think it's, the height is square, is goes like...
The mean number of returns to the origin.
Probably it should be like that. I forgot. Anyhow. That's the behavior 2/3. What's important is the Monte Carlo things go well because you find 0.67 and you can tell the results. But the fact that you can obtain such an expression highly non-trivial. I will go to the heights. I gave you this expression just to show what kind of things you have in this game. Now, another reason why I said that you are massive here, is a one point, is a local density of contact points, which starts at one and goes like that. For three sides of sides, you see it's independent of L, and you find an exponential decrease as you should. So you know that directly you measure the correlation.
What is the index I here? Can you
I is a side from the beginning let me be clear, it's from the beginning of this. You are right, forgive me. You have your lattice here with zigzags and something like that. I is a distance from one end. So 15th, I don't know, 5 sides is roughly the correlation length in this sense. 5 units. 5 meters.
The contact points can only be on the even sides?
The contact points can be only even sides, that's correct. You spend a tuck and a tuck.
The simple
thing.
Now,
sorry, but in that case, here,
pardon me?
2, 5, there are 5 points, no?
Pardon me?
In that picture which you showed, can you just put it back? Yeah, so up to I equal to 5, there are 5 points, right?
Up to here, there are 5 points, yes.
But if only even points were, if only odd points were allowed, you would.
Good point. 1, 2, 3, it's half. Don't get me into that. It's twice. I knew you are going to get it. You got me another point I'm going to show you. What is more interesting is, I think I'm conforming invariants. What you learn from conforming invariants. You go to the conforming invariant point at 1, and the one contact point function times L to the 1/3 scales Z or whatever fractal dimension, there is no case here, you have only the length of the system, you find a fantastic data collapse, and normally you say finished, not in conformal invariance. In conformal invariance you can say more. What you can say, and here is a good story related to Deepak, what you can say is the following thing. There's a one-point function times this expression here times delta plus delta bar, which are critical exponents that are obtained from the spectrum. This have to give a function only of cosine theta. When I had the paper, and this function can be in principle obtained from using differential equations. When I had the paper in the draft, I gave it to Deepak, and Deepak noticed a very good point, the picture had to be wrong. And I don't know, I was dreaming. This picture is right, what I'm going to show you. It's a very simple function. Now, here is essentially noise. It's around 0.8. I doubt it's a constant, maybe there is something that varies there. But the main point is a smooth function, and this you can have only, and you, this function you can derive. Thank you, Deepak. And let me go on. Now, heights.
Let me ask this, why do you have delta bar? I mean, this is the periodic.
I have reflex to answer in German to you, yes.
Why do you have a delta bar after all? I mean, you have.
You don't have delta bar.
So why would you?
No, delta bar is zero.
Yes, so why did you write it in the first place?
For me, it's an object with a spin. Why?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have the patience that I answer to him for 2 minutes? Okay, what's happening is something very profoundly related to quantum groups. Namely, if you take, for instance, the spin-spin correlation, you have to generalize using irreducible tensors in the quantum group, you always have operators with spin. It's a quantum group in a crazy way produces operators with spin. It's a much more general property than here. Let me tell you more about it, because these people are not, are less keen than you about the things. I don't refuse to talk. The point is that it will take too long. Now about the heights. The height thing is really a perverse thing. Here, you have the heights in which you have subtracted the substrate, which is 0.5, as a function of L for W equal 1. You are a conformally invariant point. You have essentially nothing. You have, and you is a log scale, so it looks like a perfect log. And you change, they move a bit, but perfectly log. This picture is extremely misleading. And the reason it's misleading, because we have obtained with Pyatov a bound, rigorous, which is up to 1,000 but perfect, but then gets far a bit away from this curve, but saturates with these units here at point 1.5, around here. But far, far away, it's an extremely slow convergence of the problem. Now, log effects in this type of conformal field theory are very to expected. And the reason is existence of Jordan cells which always create log effects. So there are quantities which behave nicely as powers, there are some things that behave in a strange way. I have no idea how you can control the height quite saturates, however I'm going to show you some pictures.
What which you're saying is that there's a logarithmic conformal field theory?
Field theory, sure.
But this is the average height where? Because, you know, you have two ends.
Here is average height over the place.
Right?
All over the place.
Average over.
However, be realistic. The average height here is 1.5, so the boundaries really don't matter. I will come to this point immediately. I don't think I have the picture. If you take the height and the height in the middle, it doesn't change much. But I will come now exactly to this point. You know that because you know that when we start to look at the beginning, we didn't know about that. The saturation is completely crazy.
If you just take Brownian expression, which is the dyke path specific uniform measure, I mean, there, you know that, you know, it will be again sort of, it has a shape which is precisely the semicircle shape, so.
But here is no semicircle.
No, here it's not. I mean, no, semicircle you get only for when you have all the dyke paths with equal probability, which is not your case. In your case, you have a different measure. So when you take all the dyke paths to be equal probability, then you get exactly a semicircle, basically, for the shape of.
I believe you. Should I? Let me go on. And here comes the problem of saturation. If you go to smaller values of W, you see it very clearly. It converges faster. And you see, here is the height as a half. That's just what you wanted. And they converge much faster, but still, I'm away from the values that I mentioned before. What's happening is the convergence is faster for smaller W, and you reach saturation faster. The curves never overlap. Its convergence is slower at larger values of W, but the main point is saturated. By the way, there is a paper by Haye where he finds a logarithmic increase at a certain point. Now I have huge doubts that it's correct. Now let's review a bit about what we want about exponents, and I will give you the exponents and then I'm going to again to go into pictures. So which exponents did we see up to now? We saw the gamma coming from clusters.
One question, for the at least U equal to 1 case, can you actually compute the average height exactly?
Of course not. Bound. Okay. A lower bound. And that's it. No. No. It's a very complicated quantity from the point of view of conformal invariance. To find local objects is easy, but your objects that you study normally are very complicated objects. I don't know. So we defined one exponent related to the growth of the clusters, which is related automatically to the one-point function, how it decreases. In the conformal invariance case, it's only then that it's related to exponent, but not otherwise. To determine Z, we used family V-check scaling, and in which we consider different quantities A. I'm going to show a table, which quantity we computed. and Z was measured in this way, except it's a conformally invariant point, of course. And then I'm going to give you the exponent of the avalanches here that I'm going to define later. So for the time being, gamma Z for the parameter exponent, tau exponent of the avalanches. I'm going to give you a result and I go back to facts. I want to just to and then you have the other thing. Gamma goes down from 2 divided by 3 W equal 1 decreases. Z starts at 1 decreases. Tau starts at 3, and I'm going to show you why 3 is a mystery for me, and decreases up to 2. So all go down. And there's no crossover from any means. You'd have nothing to cross. So I will put this thing here, and then I'm going to discuss them again. First of all, let's see what conformally invariant says about family Wieczek scaling. So I took the quantity of clusters, the number of clusters a function of T and L, divided by the value of T infinity, minus 1, and you are looking to as a dependence of T over L. What do you expect, because Z is equal to 1, to have a function of exponents lambda 1 and lambda 2, and lambda 1 and lambda 2, because you are conformally invariant, you know them from the spectrum. You know these values. What you don't know are the coefficients, which are dependent on the initial conditions. You have more terms. And here it's here are the data. Here is the first exponential. You subtract it, and you are left with that. We describe the two exponentials of data too good to be true. Otherwise, you can increase. Always the exponential functions have numbers which are known. So you can come already with a lot of information on the function itself. More than that. What you cannot have in other models is a two-point function. The one-third, now the two-point function gets, because you have two operators, you have a factor L to the scaling goes like L to the two-third. Now, the two-point function goes, has the following scaling properties. You have the L to the two-third of a function of mu, here is space and time correlation function with the argument completely given by the relativistic formula with the sound velocity known from the spectrum of the problem. So the scale, and here what our measurement is about, which are function of distance. You took different distance at equal zero. And in the middle of the system, at r equals zero, and you move at different times. So it's a space and time dependent in the problem, which are both completely fixed to the relativistic dispersion relations as conformal invariants. It's again an information that you cannot have otherwise. Now,
did you try to calculate that function g?
Pardon me?
Did you try to get some differential equation for the function g and work that out?
No. 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 No, there are many things which can be done. No. And even the one-point scaling function. Now, let's go to avalanches. Let me remind you of quantities that I defined much, much earlier. And I hope I didn't lose the transparency, otherwise I would have to define it. But I know it by heart. Okay. I defined for you N of L is the average number of points where I cannot have these options. So if Si is plus minus 1, this one disappears, that's average over sides, and since the average quantity goes divided by minus 1, I define this one. Well, you cannot have this option, this solution. Now, if you have a disruption process, you take a layer, it hits, takes a layer. Assume that you kick out T tiles in the disruption process. T is always a number odd. Now what you do, it's, since in the absorption process you can absorb only one particle, and in the disruption process you can disrupt T particle, then you do a simple calculation and you see that if I know this quantity, the number of places where I cannot have this option, then I can get the probability to have absorption, deflection, and by subtraction disruption. Now, from using this expression for large values of L, the average number of tiles has this behavior. Now, again, magic at U equal 1, N of L has this expression for any size of the system. This was guessed by Stroganov and confirmed. Why you have such rational nice expressions, I don't know, but in the thermodynamic limit, this is 3 divided by 4. From using this expression, it implies that it equal 1, on the average you dissolve 1.5 tiles and nothing more. Big deal. The point is, yes, because you have long tails. Now, first observation is that for any W, T infinity, I mean the maximum number of tiles is finite. And the argument goes like that, and here comes something very nice. We saw that when W is equal to 1, U equal 1 or W equal 1, it is 3/4. Now here comes a lot of Monte Carlo calculation. We know one thing. If W is equal to 0, you have the stationary state is a full triangle. Each side is a disruption place. Being each side a disruption place implies N zero. However, what's happening to the data, if you approach zero, it's all the time saturated 0.5. You go from 0.75 and you get to 0.5. You have a discontinuity, which is reflecting exactly the first picture of the height that I have shown you at a certain point. For W, 0, 3 times 0 times 25, you still see nothing of no triangle. It's a singularity. Now, from here you know that for any finite W, the number of tiles is finite. Just using this expression. And goes to 0.5, you do the calculation, goes like 1 over W, something over 1 over W. So any finite W is finite. This was a big surprise. A full triangle is a completely singular thing in this thing.
N infinity is a function of W?
Pardon me?
The N infinity is a function of W also?
If
the N
infinity is a function, this function of W is.
And 1 minus N infinity could go to 0?
What?
The denominator could go to 0?
Cannot. Because that's the point. The denominator decreases with W.
Ah.
And then the 0.5. The real point, it would have gone to 1. Okay, now I go with the critical properties of the avalanches. And since T is the number of tiles odd, you define 2V minus 1 so that D takes any value. If S is a probability to have for a system of cells L V tilde V subst, then you expect this, you could have this simple scaling law. And for U equal, W equal 1, you find tau equal 3, and the challenge is why against the number 3 appears no idea. But to check before you have the challenge to derive this thing, let me remind you the values of tau for other cases. It moved from 3 to 2. It never really reaches 2, because if it would be 2, you have a logarithmic increase of the number of tiles dissolved, and it's always tiles stay finite. Gets close to 2, they change.
So your observation tau equal 2 is purely numerical?
Pardon me?
You say tau equal 3 because it's purely numerical?
Purely numerics. But, well, is that good numerics? The way you do it, you compute moments, but since the challenge is a challenge, the last picture I'm going to show is that this challenge makes sense. Here is a scaling function, and you have a nice data collapse, so it's worth to think about it where tau is equal to 3, but you have many more calculations to justify it. Now, after all, what we have shown is that this phase diagram makes sense.
It almost seems like a sort of, you know, Lewis table process for between 2 and 3.
No, it's like yes. Between 3 and 3.
Yes.
What for me was a big surprise, and it took a long time to understand that the singularity is the problem, because that is why one went very close to W, and all the time I expected something crazy, and nothing happened of this type. What I think I have shown to you is what's the advantage to have a system which is space-time conformally invariant, how much many information you can obtain of the system. If you ask me what's next, I will tell you. I hope that this message reached. I didn't want to do any mathematics, I wanted just to tell you the bottom line of the physics in this problem. Thank you very much.
Other questions?
Yeah.
You gave us an explicit formula for the number of probability of having a cluster of size k.
Yes.
Where does it come from? Do you know the stationary measure? Or how do you calculate that?
You asked the wrong question. Let me explain.
Sorry.
How things go into what is called combinatorics. You believe in what you do. Okay, first of all, you have to learn something to use the Sloan database and of sequences.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start to work on small lattices where you can get exact results, you know what you are doing, and you obtain nice factorized expressions.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure. There are different stages. Then after you have guesses from small lattices and expression, by the way, everything was checked Monte Carlo afterwards, comes the next stage. The next stage is a better understanding of the combinatorics. And the paradox is the whole thing, is that you can find some rules on the measure which are easily to compute as a measure itself. They're part of the measure that you know, because you have symmetry properties related to alternating sign matrices. That's what you don't know, but you find some rules. And these some rules are easier to derive. And the bound, for instance, I mentioned from the height, comes from some rules of this type. You can do the height by brute force, knowing the measure and computing like crazy. That's not the point. The point is that combinatorics are objects like that.
You didn't answer my question. This formula for P and K?
It's not derived. It's obtained, you obtain some rules and that you are able to compute, and then you guess further. And if it's going to be guessed further, this expression, I think so. Don't ask me how it's hexagonal. Forget it. You have a construction to obtain it. If it's little, he wrote the equation. Probably it's going to be derived. It's going to be derived. It's the kind of things that once they are pretty and they are there, they're going to be derived. As simple as that. I believe. Maybe not.
What happens if you make the system periodic? Do you get a non-zero delta bar?
Well, if the system is periodic, I don't know how to define it.
Well, you have a contact point at the boundaries where you keep the interface attached to the substrate. So let this contact point move rather than fixing it at some point.
The whole thing is that you lose conformal invariance in 2 seconds.
If you make a chain periodic, your quantum chain, for instance, you don't
lose. The quantum chain periodic is not what we have here. If you want the quantum to periodic system, you need a twist, twist. Periodic, it's not.
No, you don't need a twist. I mean, you...
Don't tell me. You do need a twist if you want the system periodic. For even number of sides, you need a twist. Okay, argument. For in order to have the ground state, you need a shift to redefine the central charge from 1 to 0. Mm-hmm. How do you want to do it? The shift is to redefine your vacuum in an excited state compared to the real periodic one. You have to redefine your vacuum, and that is a twist.
Well, if you think of the model, of the height model, you can easily make it periodic, and there should be some...
The height model you can easily make periodic, but you lose conformal invariance. That's all. Okay, I can tell you how you can do the periodic thing, but you take me away completely. It's not what you... It's a question of 2 cylinders, forget it.
Yeah, I think I asked you earlier, but anyway, so you take a periodic height model which doesn't have conformal invariance, but then what are its properties?
No idea. Okay. As simple as that. Yes, sir.
Can you just outline what the similarity transformation looks like? I'm just mystified how you managed to compress all this non-locality in the model into this Hamiltonian.
Okay. You want okay, let me show you how it works. It's 2 steps. Can I get rid of that?
You can press up there somewhere. I think it's a button on that control. This one. I don't know which one. I think there's a chalk symbol maybe on there. Wait. This is...
Make it conform.
Yes.
Okay, I will move on the other.
Yeah.
Close, forget it. Brute force doesn't work.
Just tear it down.
Okay, I will go on the left side. Okay. I start in the following way. I start with the Hamiltonian, which is defined somewhere over I from 1 to L minus 1, in terms of 1 minus EI, where the EI satisfies EI squared is equal to EI, EI plus minus 1 EI, E plus minus 1 is equal to EI plus minus 1, EI EJ commutator is equal to 0 if J is different of I plus minus 1. That is called a Temple-Lieb algebra in the semigroup regime. You need a semigroup, it's crucial for the whole thing. Now you define this Hamiltonian. This Hamiltonian, because you can work in the regular basis, automatic is a stochastic process, once you have this property of semigroup. But in our specific case, we know a representation in terms of Pauli matrix of this algebra. So I know how to, what is the conflict in ZXZ. What I need is the one in the loop algebra, in the pictures. So what means a picture like that? I will then explain how you choose your basis. I took here four sides. In terms of the Gauss model, you take a point here, you take a point here, you take a point here, and you take a point here, and you take a point here. So you are with L equal 5 here. You started with four sides, 1, 2, 3, and 4. You call this 0 prime, 1 prime, 2 prime, 3 prime, and 4 prime. You go vertically. And you ask yourself how many crossings you have. You are here, no crossing. Here you crossed 1. Here you crossed twice. Here you cross 1. And here you cross nothing. So I made the connection between this link pattern and the other. Good. So now the problem still to make the connection is to be able to have an interpretation of that in terms of the XXZ chain. So I have 1, 4, 2, and 3. Good. On each side of the chain now, I have spin up and spin down. Up and down. I use the following for each link here in the vector space. I will write exactly the expression that you want here. 1 with 4 is connected. So I write omega to the 1 half. 1, 4. Minus omega to minus 1 half 4, I will tell you immediately who is 1, times I connect these two, omega to the 1 half 2, 3 minus omega to the minus 1 half 3, 2 for omega is I pi over 6. I pi over 3. Here's the down. This gives me exactly the, if I take, open the product, give me in the, my vector space exactly the objects I know. And the connection again. You want more diagrams?
What does the similarity transformation look like in terms of polymatrices?
No idea, and I don't want to know it. I don't need it. You read it off. In terms of Pauli matrix, why should I write in terms of Pauli? It's, you have the expression.
Okay. So thanks a lot.